Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to The Unknown Show. I'm Buck Smith. On tonight's show, we're going to talk to Mike Garvey. He's the host of the Questionable Intelligence Report, and he built houses for Habitat for Humanity. Yeah, thanks for listening. The show's been gone for a little while, and looking forward to tonight, the opportunity here to talk to Mr. Mike Garvey, and I think he's on the line right now, so let me pull him up. Hey, Mike, you there?
Hey, now. Yep.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
Great. How are you, man?
Well, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I know, we haven't talked. We should. We should, like, set a, an hour aside every week just to, you know, have a good talk, you know, pep talks and stuff.
Maybe in person, maybe in our underwear.
Yeah, I'm, unfortunately, I'm fully dressed right now, and I'm next to an open window, so I got to keep all my clothes on, but,
nah, that's bullshit.
That's the state of things here. It's nice to talk to you. Where are you calling from, man?
I'm calling from Mount Vernon, New York, which is, do you live in Jersey or are you in the city?
I'm from New Jersey. For like 8 years, I've lived in the city, up by the George Washington Bridge. So I'm like in the city by like technicality. I throw a stone and it like hits New Jersey, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm literally two blocks from the Bronx.
Oh, fuck, really? That's fucking crazy.
Yep.
What's your neighborhood like? Is it like a suburb or is it what's it like up there?
It's I live on the south side, which is it's like there's no difference between where I live and the Bronx whatsoever. Like none.
Yeah, yeah.
The subway is about maybe four blocks from me. Lots of crime. It's great. It's a great place.
Lots of crime. Love crime, man. Crime is what I like. The do you have like a lawn?
Couldn't live without it.
Do you have a lawn and a driveway and all that?
We have a driveway, but it's the owner's driveway because it's a two family house. So I live on the first floor. The owner lives on the second floor. He's got a driveway. I guess we got a lawn. Yeah, there's a lawn. We have lawns
there's
here.
Lawn. I was in.
We got lawns here.
Yeah, like when I go to Queens and shit, and I see people have like yards and stuff. I'm like, wow, this is fucking bizarre. It's like walking around, there's like sidewalks and like yards and like kids can play in them and stuff. I'm like, it's so weird that there's part, you know, little like chunks of the city where that happens, you know?
Well, there's like, I was talking to a guy a couple of years ago who has an outside dog. And like being from around here, like there's no such thing as an outside dog in this area. Like you keep your dog inside because someone could come along and kill it or get bitten by it or steal it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have outside dogs in these areas. That was bizarre.
Yeah. So for people who aren't familiar with what you're up to, you're the host of the Questionable Intelligence Report, which is what night is that on and what times?
It's Sundays and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. It's I guess it's technically a panel show because it's just me and like three other people, one of which is a female, a black female. We have a black female on the show.
You have to have.
It's our major selling point.
You have to have black females involved with a lot of different things because they're usually smarter than stupid white guys like us, you know.
Yes, she's on there to lend credence to the show and possibly to my penis.
Well, that's everybody has different reasons why they do this stuff, and I know you do your show because it gets you laid all the time, so that's pretty badass that works out for you.
No, that's actually the opposite effect is what happens from that show. I do the show because it prevents me from getting laid.
That's cool. The show is usually it's a panel show, and when I've listened to it, you guys do a really cool job of like talking about current events, like kind of like almost like a hilarious like news show, kind of touching on like things that are kind of going on, headlines and stuff. That's not like the boring version of it.
We try.
Yeah. Is like your goal? Like with that kind of stuff, when you were like growing up, did you like listen to like the shows like what you do now and kind of be like, wow, I'd love to do that professionally? Or is it something just kind of like snuck up on you and it's like something you're like working towards?
I've been writing my whole life, since I was a kid, been writing comedy stuff and I hosted an open mic night show in the city for about a year and a half.
Where was that?
Over on Houston Street, right next to, I think it was the West Side Highway or FDR Drive. I can never remember, but it was over by Alphabet City. It's right near Katz's Deli. It was a place called a famous place called the Parkside Lounge. We had a kick-ass little show. It was free. People would come in, and my co-host and I, who's also a co-host of Questionable Intelligence Report, Louie, we would actually, after we did our bits and introduced the people who'd want to come on stage, we'd pretty much sit in the audience and heckle them. It was it was the most brutal room in the city. Like, if you wanted to learn how to deal with hecklers, you came to our show, and we heckled you.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Like,
and pretty much since then, yeah, go on.
I said there's like an art to that, like what you said, dealing with criticism, dealing with hecklers. And, I think most people never get to experience that. I work construction with a lot of guys, and we're fucking assholes to each other, all day long. Intimately brutal. Well, the more we get to know each other, the worse it gets. And I feel for the person that thinks they're a stand-up comedian getting on stage who's never worked in that kind of environment or had, older brothers, older sisters just to rip them the fuck apart,
It's that's the thing that people don't understand on that, because, a lot of the people that go to open mic night shows are either comedians that are just trying to kind of hone their material or they're we've had like school teachers that are just looking to let off some steam on stage, and people don't realize like if you want to do that professionally, you're going to be in like a shitty area in the South somewhere, and there's going to be an idiot heckling you on stage, and you have to learn how to deal with it. Our goal really wasn't exactly to teach people how to deal with heckling. Our goal was just to kind of get drunk and be assholes on stage, but. Byproduct of it was to kind of hone people's skills. So it was a great room.
Can you give any tips on heckling people? Is there anything you picked up from your extensive trash talking? Just go for it.
It's the bottom line is that like people don't like unless you have your own comedy show, unless you have like your own HBO show, like if you're telling a joke, the setup has to be kind of quick, like once people get up there and they don't have any direction or something, we're just going to jump all over. Like I've kicked people off stage before for sucking. The heckling people is, I really find it generally to be disrespectful if you're going to an actual comedy show that you paid for. And you're going to heckle somebody. If you're paying for this guy, like, it's his job to get up there and say stuff. If he sucks, he sucks. You know, like, whatever. Like, you can bitch about that all you want, but let the guy at least try to do his job. But if you're going to an open mic night show and you're shit, especially if I'm hosting it, like, the best part of that is having the power. Because if somebody sucks, you can just be like, yeah, you suck. Get off stage. That's it.
That's pretty awesome. I haven't gone to many open mic nights for comedians, and usually I get stuck going to like poetry open mic nights, or there'll be like a featured reader,
right,
and then there's like poets that come up, or like, you know, Chuck Howe does like sometimes music, so you'll go and you'll see like people do a song or two and have like an open mic for that kind of stuff. Is there any open mic comedy things you go to in the city still, or is that kind of
The reason we started our own is because we got really tired. We'd go to all these. There's a really famous open mic night called Gladys's Basement, I think, that was I don't even think it exists anymore, but a lot of comedians came out of it, like Jim Gaffigan. Have you heard of him?
Uh-huh. I've heard the name. I think I can picture him, like an ugly white guy, right? That's all of them.
Yeah, he's an older, balding, fat white guy. He's pretty funny.
Yeah.
A lot of people came out of that open mic show, and in going there, like, you wind up having to pay $5 to $7. If you don't get there early enough, you have to wait, and it's just full of idiots. It's just full of people who are trying out a new character. It's rarely ever get somebody like Tracy Morgan going there, although it does happen. And we just got really tired of watching shitty comedy without being able to do anything about it, so we started our own. And we got friendly with the bartenders, so we got, you know, cheap drinks, and we'd put people on stage, and if they sucked, we'd give them shit, and we'd get drunk in the process. So
fuck yeah.
I suggest everybody has their own open mic night. Everybody should do that. The power is incredible.
I agree. I haven't done what you've done with doing, you know, comedy is just such a different thing, you know, but, yeah, throwing these events is fucking crazy. It's crazy fun. I don't know.
Well, we would get lucky sometimes and have people do music. You know, I mean, we didn't say it was comedy only, but we'd have people come up, and very few people actually read anything they wrote. But we had a guy once. He was in like his kitchen scrubs. You know, like the plaid, the black and white plaid kitchen pants, and the you know, the chef coat thing. And he just came in and he sang a cappella for a good 15 minutes, old blues songs. It was absolutely fucking fantastic. Cool shit, man.
Fuck yeah. On that note, man, you got a caller. You got 917, blah, blah, blah. I'll pull him on. Maybe it's somebody we know. Hey, what's up? 917, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? This is Felter to Mike's Waldorf.
Gotta go. Oh, okay. You know Mike Garvey?
Fortunately, for too many years.
Yeah, you guys go back.
This is my co-host from the open mic show, and also Questionable Intelligence Report.
Oh, badass, man!
I thought we were going to be talking about books and shit.
Nah, you know what? I always wind up getting writers on the show, but usually I'm really mostly trying to just talk to artists in general, and I just don't know as many people doing comedy or people doing art. I just seem to know all these writers, you know. It's nice to actually talk to somebody who doesn't want to read stuff or whatever.
At all. I think I haven't read a book in a year, so there you go. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Well, I mean, you're Puerto Rican, so we're lucky that you can read, you know.
You're lucky I can talk, barely, but yeah.
Well, where do you live, sir?
Lewis. New Jersey. I'm not from New Jersey. I live in New Jersey.
Yeah?
Well, like,
all
I'm
New
like
Jersey.
I'm under arrest or something. I'm in prison-ish.
He's in the Jersey suburbs. He's the worst. The worst possible. Because
I'm broke.
Are you in fucking South Jersey suburbs or something?
No. Not too far from Newark, but it's a nice area.
Oh, okay.
So I'm all right.
Bloomfield or something, then, probably.
Not quite as horrible. Not all the same
crap.
But the cops here are horrible, so it's a trade-off.
All right.
Where are you, young man?
Well, I'm planted up here, 173rd Street, and you can call it Manhattan. It's barely Manhattan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that Inwood?
It's right below Inwood. It's like the tip of Manhattan.
Look at you.
But cool, man.
Listen, if you need any real estate, I'm your guy.
This fucking guy works in a goddamn oil refinery.
Really?
Yeah. He's
got money.
He's like manly and shit.
You looking for to spend some of that money in real estate?
I am not. I'm not going to ever fucking buy a house or have any house plans.
So what am I doing here?
I'm
wasting my time here.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It was badass to fucking talk to you.
Thank you. Listen, you know anybody's looking in the... You know anybody's looking for an apartment?
Nigga, don't come on here and fucking pimp your fucking real estate bullshit. Jesus Christ. Why don't you pimp our show, you fuck?
He's trying to fucking sell houses. That's cool. He sounds like a good dude, though. Fucking, speaking of houses...
No, not at all. He's the worst person on the planet. Don't even give him lip service, bud, at all. Don't. Just tell him he's a horrible human being. Tell him to go slather sunscreen on his fucking dog and then cut him off.
Last time we had a piece of talking about looking for Habitat for Humanity, working with building houses for the homeless. Do you still partake in that?
I'm not doing that anymore. It was a fantastic, fantastic job. The problem up here in Westchester is that the politics are just fucking outrageous. They're bad. It's not really up here about getting houses built for people who need it. That's it turned out to not be about that, which is a shame. But before that, we did a lot of cleanup in the areas. We would go into like Yonkers and Mount Vernon, which are some of the dirtiest places in Lower Westchester, and we would get volunteers to come in and help clean up some disastrously dirty places. You know, get on the street, pick up garbage, plant flowers, slap each other around, get naked, good stuff.
Get naked, yeah, you gotta do that. It's like, you know, rule number two, you know, helping out people, get naked.
Absolutely.
Did you ever run into some crazy shit doing that? Or was it pretty much just like a regular kind of job?
Well, I mean, when you're cleaning up and you know, I spent a lot of time in like the gang areas in Yonkers, and I mean, there were always you know, a few shady characters milling about, and there's a, you know, strangely enough, it's like most of the people that we encountered, and this is kind of it's interesting just how much like the whole mental health debate fits into violence and you know, unsafe neighborhoods, because the people that we had the biggest problem with were residents in the area that were just friggin' crazy, just people that needed desperately to go to some sort of fucking, you know, therapy or psychiatric help or something like that, because we'd have people just like show up on site and just start screaming and asking for money and stuff like that. And they were, if it wasn't drugs, it was mental health, and probably both.
They had a lot of houses being built, even, you know, for post Hurricane Sandy stuff down by the shore.
But I can't hear you too well.
No, I couldn't hear you on video either. I think your phone might be getting fucked up. You hear me now?
No.
Nah, that blows.
Okay, I mean, I can hear you, but it's very fuzzy.
Yeah, it's sort of break up a little bit. But yeah, I hope it clears up. I'm play a song or two here, and then we'll try to pick this interview back up. I don't want to cut you off right away here. Just give me 1 minute, Mr. Garvey.
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, for your strength, for your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
Of the United States of America.
Whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
That wasn't even strong at all. That was, we had like a shared switchboard with other folks on this thing. And that was John Wayne reading the Pledge of Allegiance. Hey, Mike, you there?
Yeah. Hello?
Maybe put up a little bit. I don't know. Can you hear me now at all?
It's still fuzzy, but I can hear you a tiny bit better. It sounds like you're talking through a cloud of cheese.
It is a satellite all fucked up. It's got a short case of people listening. I'm like, wow, I hope the show keeps getting fucked up. Great. You know, they're like getting closer to the radio. I love it. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Better now.
Well, I think we're pulling it in, man. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking to me about stand-up comedy and heckling people, and for some tips on that.
No problem.
We'll have to fucking do this again another time.
Yes, and I'll get your ass on my show, and you can pimp out your books, Mr. Author.
Sure, man.
And we won't even heckle you. How about that? We won't heckle you.
I don't care. You heckle all the time. All right, Mike. Party on, man. I'll catch you in person.
All right, thanks, brother. Take it easy.
Later. All right, so that would mean it sounds good talking to him. Mike Garvey. And I hope you call his name too, but I'm asking for all of the kind of the comedy in New York City. Check out the questionable intelligence report. Wednesday and Sunday, we'll talk a lot of talk, just like this show. And, Sorry, it was fucking pretty awesome, so check that out. Well, thanks for the end. It's going to be it for tonight. Like, show me back next Tuesday. So, who the fuck knows. All right, later on.